When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
BT and Sal back on the fan. Time to reset. Hit you with the crown topic of the day. We started the show a couple hours ago talking about Malik Nabers and those comments yet again, where Nabers speaking out and after Sunday's game, undermining his head coach, disrespecting his head coach directly when he questions a play call. He's saying, I don't know, it's not me. What do you want me to tell you? I don't call the plays, blah, 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 blah. I'm paraphrasing. Then he doubled down on that yesterday, BT. And look, you don't want to make too big a deal about it because Malik Nabers is not the reason why the Giants have been awful. Obviously, he just got here this year. Now, he hasn't helped, and he's trying to do his part. Maybe that's why he's frustrated. But when he speaks out like that, to me, that does more damage than it does good, whether it's the head coach, whether it's the quarterback being Daniel Jones before Tommy DeVito or Tommy DeVito now. Malik Nabers has been selfish and immature. That is not something you want from your star wide receiver.
No, it's misplaced emotion, and it adds to the chaos, and perceptually it just makes the head coach look fairly powerless, not incredibly respected, and for somebody who has not won a lot of games in the last 2 years, that is a very dangerous combination to be put on your desk at this point. That's not good.
Yeah, I mean, in the offense, you can talk about how great he is all he wants. The offense stinks. Even when Nabers was healthy back in the beginning, they weren't scoring many points anyway. So at some point, he has a lot of drops on the year. I know he's got a bunch of targets too, but again, I'm not trying to pin it on Nabers, but I think this is a bigger picture thing. When we saw this play out similarly with Tom Coughlin at the end of his reign as Giants head coach, and this was a two-time Super Bowl winning head coach with the organization, they let Odell Beckham Jr. get away with a lot when they shouldn't have. Coughlin knew he was on his last legs, didn't really have any leg to stand on. That thing got out of control. Coughlin got fired. Odell was a total bust with the New York Giants. You don't want the same thing to happen here with Malik Nabers, who, by the way, you know, they talk about, oh, Nabers, great kid, and he's going to represent the Flaherty family well. Well, he hasn't. You think the Flaherty family is enjoying Malik Nabers running his mouth and then doubling down on it, saying, oh, to those people who have an issue with what I'm saying as a rookie? No, Malik, we're trying to help you. What you're saying is not the right thing. And to me, it's even less about Nabers. I know we're focusing on Nabers because he's the one who said the comments. But Brian Daboll is the head coach. He should not be allowing this type of stuff to go on, whether it be Sunday after the game or whether it be doubling down on it Tuesday ahead of the game on Thursday. It just doesn't make any sense. And I think now furthering this, BT, if the Giants get embarrassed tomorrow or beat again similar fashion to what we saw against the Bucs or the Vikings week one or whatever, or the Eagles, I think that's the end of Shane and Daboll.
Yeah, I mean, even if they play a fairly competitive game tomorrow and they don't get blown out, and I think that they will get blown out, but if they do, I just think that there is a lack of talent and a lack of focus and a lack of, I think, organizational conviction and togetherness, where they're going to put up a few more eyesores that kind of mirrors what happened against Tampa the other day, and it's going to be the end of them anyway. Like, I really do believe that. I hate that that's what's happening, but it's going in that direction, and you can't ignore the signs where, you know, and I think you make a good point with Coughlin. Coughlin had juice. I mean, Coughlin had two championships to hang his hat on. And Brian Daboll does not. And the transformation of Brian Daboll, his persona and his personality from week to week is, to me, very stark. I mean, he went from being very aggressive and a little combative to almost passive. And I don't think that that's the wrong Brian Daboll. I do understand that and respect on many levels that he's trying to repackage it because he's not a dummy, and he knows that when you don't win and you're out there and you're jostling with reporters and it's back and forth, it's never going to end. Reporters can always win. So he's trying to change it a little bit, but that doesn't mean that you can't still have that emotion towards your team. And I feel like that's even evaporated. It's almost like he went from a fighter to almost accepting what's happening. And that really surprises me with Brian Daboll.
Which is why, I don't want to say change my tune, which is why now I'm losing belief in him. The Brian Daboll that I believed in as recently as, what, week five, six, whatever it may be, to me would never let Malik Nabers get to the point where we're at with Malik Nabers talking as freely and openly and as disrespectfully as we've seen. The reason I believed in Daboll is because I thought he was the guy who would keep all that stuff controlled and at bay and in order and be the lead guy of an organization. Well, it's now proven that not only is he not winning, the guys aren't being respectful of the head coach or their fellow teammates. They're not playing hard. They're questioning their own effort. They're saying they all stink. Like, it's gotten to a point where I don't know how you could believe in Brian Daboll anymore.
Yeah, I agree. And yeah, I've been saying it for a while. I do think, too, that, listen, wide receivers are just different animals. So this is nothing new. They've always been, you know, without the ball, they can't get paid. And they're incredibly athletic and confident in their talents. And I respect that. But even the good teams have receivers that step out of line once in a while. But there's generally a couple of guys in the locker room, especially if it's a young kid. Hey, young buck, this is not how we operate around here. And it's almost like in a fatherly or an uncle kind of a way or a big brother kind of way. And it's embraced by the young kid because the young kid is not dumb. He can look at that guy and say, all right, he's won a little bit here. He knows the deal. He knows the city. Even if Nabers was receptive to some of the advice, who's giving the advice? Who's won here? Who's been here for years that understands Giants pride and the media machine that New York is? Nobody. So in a lot of ways, I feel sorry for him because there's nobody to really follow. But, you know, you still need to know better, and you got to check that stuff and keep it in-house.
Yeah, and for me, Shane and Daboll created this mess. They took Malik Nabers. I hated the draft pick. I'm on record saying that at the time, not just because of Malik Nabers' ability, because whatever, he could be the greatest wide receiver. They weren't ready to have that. They didn't need that. And there were some question marks, which they knew about Malik Nabers, and now they have him. Their offense still stinks. As a matter of fact, it's even worse with Malik Nabers than it was a year ago, and he's now been saying things that are undermining the head coach. That is all the signs of a toxic, dysfunctional organization. BT and anything else? BT and Sal and the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you.
We got hot mics on the radio broadcast. That's happening too. Everything's going on.
I didn't hear that. What,
is there a Carl? He didn't say anything bad, Carl.
Well, that wasn't radio, was it?
No, that was on the TV show on MSG.
BT and Sal and the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Jack is calling from Booton, New Jersey. What's up, Jack?
Hey, guys. I was just wondering why the focus is always on Shane and Daboll. Shane is the new executive. Daboll is the new head coach. Mm-hmm. Why don't they get to be judged separately? I don't see necessarily if Dable's losing the locker room, why does Shane have to get?
Well, I'll tell you what, Jack. I don't think that they have to be, you know, viewed through the same lens here, but Joe Shane has not distinguished himself enough to get some separation from Brian Daboll because he's bringing the players in and the players aren't good enough.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah? I just hate the lumping because, you know, I also think Douglas might not have had to go, you know, with the firing of Salah too. So,
well, he didn't. He didn't go right away. I mean, you know, so that just proves the point that they don't always have to be. Yeah. Now, let's not use the Jets as the example of how to do things right, but you know, to lump them in is, yeah, you don't have to do it. I think it's happening here. They came from the same franchise. Number one, Shane, it was really literally Shane's guy, and Shane hasn't done very well drafting players.
I mean, I don't know why you would want things out of order with that. Why would you want to separate it? You've seen it work before for other teams where they have continuity. Hire a GM and head coach together, or hire a GM who then hires his own head coach, and they together draft a quarterback. Like, it's proven that that would be the better way to do it, as opposed to having a coach in place, bringing in a new GM, or vice versa. Having a GM in place that doesn't pick the head coach, like, it just doesn't add up. Then who's picking the quarterback? Like, it's convoluted. The way that it is, specifically in today's NFL, you need continuity, and you'd want them to be on the same timeline. So let's just say, in this particular case, what are you going to do? Fire Shane, bring in a new general manager, and stick him with Brian Daboll?
No.
Or fire Brian Daboll and let Joe Shane, who hasn't been very good in his 3 years, hire a new head coach and pick a quarterback? Like, that doesn't make any sense either.
I mean, I know the Giants have been a mess for a while, but I don't think they're going to be that much of a mess. That would be moronic at this point. I think both stay or both go, and, you know, you kind of know which way I'm leaning here.
Bruce is calling from Rockland County. What's up, Bruce?
Yeah, good morning, guys, or afternoon, and happy Thanksgiving to you and yours.
You too, Bruce.
You, thank you. You touched on a little there before, Sal, with the whole Nabers higher number situation. I've been on this pet peeve since the beginning when that was the news. And the Giants show that they're not going to draw a line and keep the hierarchy just with that move alone. Because why does this guy come in never catching a pass, asking to have a retired number go to him? He hasn't done a thing yet. For whatever the reason, I don't care if it was 100 years ago. There was a worthwhile reason for retiring a number. Why do you get that?
Yeah, I agree with you, nothing. Bruce. I wouldn't have, I don't think that's a big deal at this particular point. Thank you. Sorry, Bruce, to cut you off. I thought we were done there. But yeah, I mean, we talked about it at the time. I didn't like the idea, but not neighbor's fault. I didn't like that the Giants would do that, unretire a number for anybody. But you would think at the very least, Malik Nabers would respect the number and respect the organization. And I feel like these are disrespectful comments to the head coach. Like, whether you believe in him or not, he's still technically your boss. Mm. That's the issue. I know a lot of people don't believe in Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, so maybe they don't have a problem with Malik Nabers. We've been down this road before. It was the same stuff with Odell Beckham Jr. We're heading down that path rapidly with Malik Nabers.
Yeah, and the Flaherty stuff with the retired number, I generally don't like putting people in a position to be publicly ridiculed. Did that happen with Keith Hernandez? Was that Otani? And it came up on the air with Gary. And Keith got annoyed at him during the game.
Somebody asked him.
I think Gary asked him during the game.
Yeah, and he's like, well, no. Something like, no, he could have any other number, but mine's retired.
And it was fairly terse. And I remember, not that Keith got blowback for it, but I remember I remember watching that live and people reacted to it. I just didn't remember if it was Otani. But yeah, that came up. I don't like putting people who are still with us in that position because then, they could get knocked around unfairly when they're really just trying to protect what they earn. And maybe this is inconsistent, but I think it applies here, and I'm okay with it. For Flaherty, I didn't know anything about the man. I really didn't.
Me neither.
So I think I don't know anybody that did, except maybe if you're 70, 80 years old or 65 years old as a Giants fan. So the fact that I was able to do a little digging and, learn a little bit about the man and his family was so on board, I thought it was actually a pretty cool shining of the light on his career, but I don't know. He's just got to know better. What's going on, Pat? You're grabbing the mic there. Everything all right?
Yeah, he's got some news here. So I saw the list. I know Illuminor is out for tomorrow, and I saw DeVito was listed as questionable, but you have an update on that, Pat?
Yeah, I mean, DeVito said he planned on playing yesterday, but now Schefter just tweeted, not only is Tommy DeVito not flying to Dallas with the Giants, he did not practice today.
All right, so he's out. Let's go. So Drew Lock
gets to play. Why wouldn't they just rule him out? Like, I don't understand why they're saying he's not flying. Is he out or not? Like, can't they just be clear? Illuminor's out. I don't care if he's flying with the team or not. Is he questionable? Is he doubtful? Is he out? What's the ruling on?
Well, he was listed as questionable officially about 30 minutes ago.
Right.
And then Schefter, 2 minutes ago, not only is Tommy DeVito not flying to Dallas, he did not practice today. So I don't know if something has gone sideways with his forearm.
Doesn't make any sense, though. Why wouldn't they just list him as out?
What is he going to fly in tomorrow morning? Hey, I feel a little bit better here. Guys, suit me up. He's not playing, dude. It's worded strangely.
Well, you
I'm
wouldn't
with
think
you.
So. No,
he
that,
ain't playing.
It's fine for Schefter to report that, and thank you for updating that, Pat. Are you sure that's a real one, right? You didn't get ball sacked or
no, I have the post notifications on for Adam Schefter, okay. Not Butt Crack Sports.
Yeah, there's a couple of Adam Schefters, though.
Right.
So you got to be careful of them.
But so, no, the only reason why I even jokingly question that is because, like I said before, they came out with the injury report.
Mm-hmm.
Illuminor ruled out. Yep. I think DeVito was questionable, but clearly they knew the flight took off 15 minutes ago.
Yeah. Yeah, because Hop's on it.
Yeah, he said it was leaving at 12 o'clock today. So 15 minutes ago. When was that report? When did that come out, Pat? Just now?
He just tweeted that.
How come Hop couldn't get us that news? He's on the plane.
Well, he can't be, giving inside information.
Well, he could have given it to us, and we could have said they wouldn't have known where we got it from.
Of course. They wouldn't have done
the producer's on the plane. Where'd they get it from?
Yeah, no, I'm so that's fine. But to me, just then rule him out. You knew he wasn't going to be on the flight. Like, they would predetermine these things.
Does it even matter?
It's just a mess. No, it doesn't, but I'll tell you this. I don't want to watch the game tomorrow night.
I hear you. At least with Tommy, I was more interested. With Drew Lock, I'm like, come on.
There was an intrigue there with Tommy DeVito that Drew Lock, I don't care to watch the game. It means nothing.
I agree with you on that. I'd rather watch DeVito try to play.
Sal is calling from Keyport, New Jersey. What's up, Sal?
Hey, guys, happy Thanksgiving.
You too.
My favorite Christmas song is Dominic the Donkey.
There you go.
Dominic the Donkey.
Because my mother used to play it all the time.
I used to hear it a lot, too. Yeah, go ahead.
I love it. Malik Nabers, he caught over 65 passes this year. He's allowed to say what he wants because it's the new NFL. Mm. These guys have, with all the social media going on, The coaches don't have no control over these guys.
The good ones do.
Some of them do, and they still outspeak them. I mean, come on. The guy was a first-round draft pick.
Sal.
I'm not a Giant fan, but he's young.
Yep.
He's probably inexperienced. He's not used to losing. And he gets thrown on a Giant team, and they get rid of their quarterback.
Yeah, but Sal, hold on. Anyway. Sal, hold on. That's why sure. Hold on one sec. But that's why we gave him both, me and Sal, this Sal, the room to, you know, learn from his mistake. And all right, you say it, and yeah, you think about it, you talk to the coach, maybe you reposition it a little more softly. I understand it's a different day, and there's different outlets, and athletes are different. Trust me, we all know that. But I don't see anybody popping off in Detroit or Green Bay or Kansas City or Baltimore or up in Buffalo. I mean, Stephon Diggs did a little bit a year ago, but he's gone. I mean, so I just think that while the relationship is different and the grip, for lack of a better way of explaining it, over the player has weakened and the player's been empowered, and I have no issue with that, you still can't blur the lines of who the boss is. And that's the problem with the Giants right now. They don't seem as if they have a boss. The good teams do.
Neighbors said this weeks ago, and it was undermining the head coach. Neighbors said this again Sunday, undermining, disrespecting the head coach. Basically saying, he's basically saying, fire the head coach because it's not my fault. It's not the quarterback. It's the play caller. Who's the play caller? The head coach. So Neighbors, as a rookie who has accomplished squat in this league, is saying that they should fire the head coach. Whether he's right or wrong doesn't matter. You shouldn't be saying that. Not only that, because he's entitled to his opinion, he can say it. He doubles down
That's
on
my
it
biggest
days
issue.
After. Me too. Now, we do have an update here. I'm just seeing this from Pat Leonard. Patty Boyle was telling me as well. Somebody else had it. So quarterback Tommy DeVito, Jermaine Illuminor, and some others will not accompany the team to Dallas. DeVito is anticipated to arrive in Dallas later today.
All right, so he's probably going to get some more treatment at the facility. That's what I hear from
there.
Yeah,
okay, well, that's what I'm saying. Illuminor and Watts were ruled out of tomorrow's game. DeVito is still listed as questionable.
Tommy's resilient. Can't count
so
him out.
So he's staying back for treatment.
Probably.
Going to fly later.
Probably commercial. The Giants don't have two private planes
you
that I know
you'll
of.
Fight later tonight?
Imagine that. He might be. That's hysterical, dude. I mean, we're both in Jersey. We're going
pick
out of Newark.
Up. Yeah,
pick them up. Moxie Birdson. Pick them up. Mockingbird.
You took have a little Italian, you know, maybe some cutlets on the flight.
Hope Mama
there.
Packed some cuts on the ride in. I'll bring
about,
the bread.
Talk about your favorite Christmas song. So anyway, so DeVito is still not out. That's why I was saying it's confusing because you would think, well, if he's not flying with the team to Dallas, he's out, right? How's he going to play games tomorrow? But here's why. So maybe he still might be able to give it a go tomorrow. We'll see. So, and not so fast on the Drew Locke show. BT and Sal on the Fan will come back. We'll have Nick Costos on the other side. We'll get his thoughts on Malik Neighbors, the Giants, the Jets, maybe some picks as well. Have some fun with Nick when we return.
And just like that, there's a chance Tommy plays. My interest in the game is back. Yeah, I know I'm not alone. All right. Hey, help and hunger. Well, go ahead. Go ahead. What do you got there, Patty? I'm seeing everybody acting like lunatics, arms flailing.
Yeah,
what's
no,
up?
Sorry. I was trying to get Sal's attention. I didn't want to. But Jordan Renan saying now it's a long shot that DeVito will be able to play Thursday tomorrow.
All right, now I'm not interested again. There you go. Thank you, Pat.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata with you on this Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Can't wait to enjoy the holiday with our families and friends. Looking forward to it. Watching some football. What do you think will be the best game of the day tomorrow, BT? You're more excited about the Lions and Bears or the Dolphins and Packers?
Dolphins-Packers by far.
Yeah, but you'll be watching that at night?
Yeah, I mean, I might have one eye open, a couple of scotches in me, a million plates of food, but oh, it'll be on. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think the Lions, because they're the best team in the bunch. Yep. I guess most intriguing matchup is Packers-Dolphins because it means can the Dolphins get back in the playoff picture? Or, you know, how good the Packers are, whatever it may be. But the Lions getting things started for a change, as opposed to growing up watching Joey freaking Harrington and all the other stiffs that they would run out there on Thanksgiving after Barry Sanders, because at least you would watch him. Now the Lions, arguably the best team in the entire NFL. Right now on the line, the host of You Better, You Bet, and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Nick Costos. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Also, be sure to listen to the You Better, You Bet podcast for more analysis. Just search You Better, You Bet wherever you find your podcasts. Also, Sunday mornings on The Fan, 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. He gets you set for a football Sunday. Nick, how are you?
What's going on, guys? Happy early Thanksgiving. Great time in New York football.
Oh,
yeah,
baby.
You got to love it. Yeah, I got to love it.
It just gets better and better. So what do you think here of the status of the New York Giants? I think we were texting a little bit. Nick has some issues with our take on Malik Neighbors. So go ahead, Nick.
Oh, okay.
Well, sure. I would... So the thing that bothers me about John, and I heard, like, the caller was good. Like, he sounded really good. Like, the points were okay. I just, the caller on Neighbors and, like, the number being retired. And, again, apologies to this person because I'm about to flame Giants fans. I think that we are, in all seriousness, Giants fans. I think we're the dumbest fan base in sports. I go on WIP in Philadelphia every week, and I have to wait on hold and listen to Eagles fans call. I think we make Eagles fans look like Mensa candidates. We are that stupid collectively as a fan base. The fact that we would get on Malik Neighbors, to me, is so insane when he's far and away the best player on the offense. And the whole thing with Neighbors was, like, we watched the offseason Hard Knocks, which, as I've said, like, that'll go down as a better situational comedy than Seinfeld when it's all said and done, after Shane and Dable get fired. The whole thing with Neighbors, why they like Neighbors so much, is because Neighbors like to use the expression, like, he has that dog in him. Like, he wants to be great, and he demands greatness from people. So now that he's demanding greatness from everyone, now all of a sudden people don't like it. Like, now they don't like it. Like, wow, Neighbors was pissed after the game on Sunday. This would be like being upset when, like, the Tiger attacked, like, Siegfried or Roy, like the Tiger did what the Tiger does. We're getting pissed when Aaron Judge strikes out in October in a big spot. Like, this is what they do. It's what he does. Like, Neighbors wants to win. And by the way, he's right. They're down 100-0 at halftime. He has zero targets at halftime. Someone tell me how that makes sense.
How many snaps did they take?
But it doesn't. The point
it does
is
matter,
that you, but you have to get the ball in the hands of your best players. They didn't do it.
You don't think he's double teamed? I mean, the Giants have nobody. You don't think that they're sitting there saying, "All right, let's probably focus more on Neighbors than everybody else."
Do you think that Neighbors is like a legit number one in the NFL?
I think he's a stud. I love him.
So like stud should get the ball. Like, Neighbors should be able to beat the double team. Or if Dable's this offensive wizard, then figure out a way to scheme your best player the ball. Other teams are able to do it.
Yeah.
Other offensive play callers are able to do it.
The thing that made, to me, them look worse is that they come out in the second half and they start feeding Neighbors the ball.
Yeah. So, yeah, but yes, that's why, like, there's no excuse for anything right. that these guys do. There's no excuse for it. Also, still, like, what did Neighbors say that was so bad?
Well, he doubled down. See, to me, and this is where maybe you and I have a disagreement.
He didn't say Dable stinks. He said, like, ask coach why I'm not getting the what he's supposed to say.
He said it's not the quarterback.
He's right. The
play calling. So he's questioning the head coach. So to me, he's
talking about the team, Sal, I think, right?
No, he was directly taking shots at the head coach. So for me, whether he's right or not, I just have a major issue with any player, especially a rookie, but any player undermining the head coach. I think that's selfish. I think it creates a bad environment. I'm not saying he's wrong for what he said as far as being able to get him the ball more, but I also like to see him do something. He's accomplished nothing in this league.
But is everyone mad at Dexter Lawrence for what he said? Like, Lawrence called the whole team soft. Neighbors is right, by the way. It's not Daniel Jones stunk and DeVito stinks, but it's more than that. Like, he's right to say that. Yeah, and Dexter Lawrence said the same thing.
Well, we want to get some other stuff, but here's the difference. I think fundamentally, because I'm with Sal on this, where we disagree. So, it's one thing if you identify, like, a lack of effort or a lack of execution or a lack of passion or a lack of engagement, and you include yourself there. That's a commentary on the team, and if it's done right, generally goes over well. It's respected. He wasn't doing that. He was saying, give me the ball. Me. That's the difference.
Well, I now maybe I'm on an island with this one. I want my number one receiver to feel that way. I want him to feel that way. Like, that's wide receivers are divas by nature. This is the deal. You want your number one receiver to want the football. Like, Justin Jefferson, after the Vikings-Bears game this Sunday, barely got the ball and was happy after the game because they won. And because he got his huge contract. He's like, great, like, you want to take me out of the game? Jordan Addison's going to eat. Aaron Jones is going to eat. TJ Hawkinson's going to eat. Like, the two situations are not the same. The Giants are getting their asses kicked, and Neighbors isn't getting the ball.
That's why
I want my best players on offense and defense to feel that way.
Yes, but to a point where he's got to say it publicly and undermine the head coach.
But they're asking him, what's he supposed to say in that spot?
Just not rip
anything but what he said.
Just not rip the head coach. Now, look, Nick, you were right on this. You and BT were ahead of this. I wanted to stick with Shane and Dable. I think we're at a point now where I'm losing. I can't argue for Shane and Dable or continuity or anything else, because I think if you do that, you have to do it beyond this season, and there's no way I would do that. The reward is not worth the risk. Where are you at with this regime, and do you have an eye on who you would want next, even if it's just the head coach?
Well, I think we've kind of entered, and BT, I was driving before and I heard you say this, and you're so right. We've entered, like, the Jet zone, the Giants. But no, and like in the
Welcome
sense
to
that
hell.
I, oh, oh, it's We're in hell.
It's dark in here, man.
The problem is that, okay, so like Dable and Shane should obviously be fired, right? Does it matter what, like John, like I don't trust John Mara to make the right call in the same way that if you're a Jets fan, do you trust Woody Johnson to make the right call?
No.
So, yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I'd love for Ben Johnson to say, yeah, I want to coach the Giants and let's take a quarterback and let's roll. Like, that would be really awesome. I don't claim to know, like, who's a good personnel guy as far as a GM is concerned.
Yeah.
I will say that at the very least, if we rolled out the red carpet for Belichick to come back, at the very least, the team would be respectable. And the Giants have rarely been respectable over the course of the last 10 years. So I wouldn't hate that at all. But obviously, I mean, even the people out there are still Giants fans that think they should come back just because. Like, really? Like, it's year three. They're the worst team in the league. Like, stop it. Yeah, please.
Yeah. It's gross. So, Nick, I just want to switch it up here. And I don't know if there's any hard evidence or data or maybe just empirical evidence that you've come across over the years. Like, tomorrow, I think the bettor is going to take a bath, because tomorrow's a situation where, you know, everybody feels compelled to, you know, put some money on the games that they might not ordinarily watch, and then a couple drinks and food, and you're on the phone, you're just not even doing research, you're just banging in buttons.
To be fair, sounds like every Sunday. Yeah,
that's true. But you're right. Yeah, so can you, like, substantiate that or refute that at all? Like, it just seems like an awful day. Like, the house is going to do great tomorrow.
Well, I think, you know, I don't know if I feel like the house wins in general, but yeah, that doesn't mean that the house has to win tomorrow or this Sunday or the next. Like, things are just random, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that I've got some pretty good betting angles for the games tomorrow. Roll through them really quickly. We'll save Giants Cowboys for the last one. So Bears Lions tomorrow. And I would just, I do a show 5 days a week. On Monday, we talked about Bears 10.5. The number is now 10. Also, like, I got what we call closing line value, which means I bet a good number and it closes like worse than the one that I bet, which means I win before the game starts, and then I lose money at the end.
Hmm.
So it doesn't mean the bet's going to win.
Yeah, but what'd you get it at?
I got 10.5, and it's 10 now. So
gotcha.
It's a difference between those two. Doesn't
for
mean
sure
I'm going to win, but the market's moved towards me here.
Yeah.
I do like Chicago to cover the spread.
Huh.
Caleb has quietly, and like, I was wrong. I had Vikings -3. I pushed. I thought that Brian Flores would put Caleb Williams in a blender this past Sunday. Didn't happen. Like, Caleb threw for 350 in the game. He was excellent. And I think if he's going to play like that, the offense has been better since they made the coordinator change from Waldron to Thomas Brown. I think the Bears can fall inside the number. Lions dealing with some injuries on offense. Taylor Decker on the offensive line. Bears +10 in the first game tomorrow. Now, Thursday night, tomorrow night, I don't think it's an easy handicap. The total's actually gone up a little bit. Now 47.5. There's potential weather. Like, it's going to be like 18 degrees tomorrow.
Ooh.
It's going to be the literal, not the figurative, the literal frozen tundra of Lambeau Field for Packers Dolphins. So the question that people are going to have to answer is, you know, we saw this in January, right, with Dolphins Chiefs in like sub-zero temperatures. Like, Miami can't play in the cold. Tua's got that jacket on that looks like it weighs 300 pounds. He looks like he's freezing out there. Green Bay's going to be comfortable outside in that weather. Do you think, you the person listening, that Miami, the Dolphins have been awesome since Tua came back. Even in losses, they've been good. Do you think they can overcome this and they can beat a good team in the cold on the road? I'm not so sure, but if people want to bet this game, please do this. If you like Green Bay, lay -3. If you like Miami, take +3.5 to give yourself the best chance to win. And then Giants and Cowboys. BT, I heard you say you think Dallas is going to win big.
Mm-hmm.
Bettors right now disagree.
Okay.
And with this news coming
What's the spread right now? 4.5?
So we are almost at 3.
Okay.
So the news just came down that Drew Locke's going to start tomorrow.
Oh, that is happening now?
So Locke is, like, I don't know if it's 100%, but we're like 99% that Drew Locke's starting. DeVito's not going to be ready. People are going to bet the Giants because of that, because Locke is a perceived upgrade to Tommy DeVito. Now, when people talk, I like to listen. When the Giants said after the game, the best players on the team all said, it has nothing to do with the quarterback, we stink, I'll listen to that. If the point spread goes down to three, I'll bet Dallas and I'll feel really good about it. But it has to be Dallas minus three coming up tomorrow.
You have any fun ways to play these games? Because as BT said, it, you know, the holiday feel, it's different. It's not just your normal Sunday. Like for me, I'm not somebody who bets props, but maybe I get into that on the holiday with the three standalone games. I like to do a little Turkey Day teaser for fun or maybe a parlay. You have any unique ways to play these games as opposed to just the straight ups that you
give us? Yeah, so the teasers, we're not in like great teaser range for, I mean, you could do like a monster teaser, which just like a 14-13 pointer. I mean, I can give you a teaser just like with the where the point spreads are now, you're not getting any mathematical value.
All right, give us the props then. I know you love those.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, the Bears, literally as we're doing this right now, the point spread has moved from 10 to 9.5.
Hmm.
So I bet MGM. So I would say to anyone out there, if you like the Bears in the game, find a 10 and bet the 10 now, because I think this is going to close below that. So coming up tomorrow, let's see. What do we like for tomorrow? I'll tell you what I like for tomorrow. Rome Odunze for Chicago, their rookie wide receiver. His receiving yards prop is 42.5. He has really started to play better since Thomas Brown took over as the OC. DJ Moore is also playing a lot better, being used in different ways. The Bears are going to have to score, and I think they can score in this game. I would look at Moore and Odunze both going over their receiving yards prop. Moore is not just being used as a vertical threat down the field. They're getting him the ball at the line of scrimmage also and letting him make guys miss. So I do like DJ Moore coming up for tomorrow. And in Dolphins-Packers, I'll believe what I saw last week, which was Jalen Waddle, and for fantasy players, like, he's killed us all season. And then he was on benches last week, and he went for 6, 144, and a touchdown. Waddle's receiving yards prop is 44.5 this week. I would look for the over there. And if people want to play this, Jonnu Smith, Miami's tight end, yep, is also at 44.5. Tyreek Hill is basically being used as a decoy right now with his wrist injury, opening things underneath for both Waddle and Jonnu. If you made me pick, I would take Waddle. And one other quick one for you guys. Christian Watson, Green Bay's deep threat wide receiver, goose-egged on Sunday, but dropped like a wide-open 45-yard touchdown. I still think that he's going to play a huge role for the Packers down the stretch. I like Watson over receiving yards coming up tomorrow night.
Thank you, Nick. Happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy the day with your family.
Happy Thanksgiving to you guys and all the great listeners. Wishing everyone minimal sweats, winning bets, the absolute very best of luck. And let's go Cowboys tomorrow.
Good job, buddy.
Oh, jeez. Nice. That was the host of You Bet or You Bet and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Nick Costos. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. I got to be honest with you. Maybe this is the way to play that game. Just bet the Cowboys. Bet the pants on. I can't do it with the Giants anymore.
You can't take the Giants
you
tomorrow.
Can't. Yeah, no, you can't do it. I want to bet the games. We'll do our little Turkey Day teaser coming up at 1:20 when we give our perfect parlay picks for Week 13. But
I mean, listen, if I'm a Giants fan and I want some action on this game just to make it more interesting, you got to latch onto the over or the under. There's no way you put money behind the
Take
Giants.
Take some
here.
Giant players props, maybe Malik Nabers.
Or something like
Nabers
Malik
anytime
Nabers.
Touchdown, Tracy. All right, time to pull your card with BT and Sal. Last week we did this, BT, and I got the pack of basketball cards, read the names off to you. Today we'll roll reversal here.
Yeah.
Open the pack of cards, and I'll try to guess the best to my ability.
All right, very nice looking pack. Nice fancy wrapper.
Are they tough to read for you? Did you open them up yet?
Well, they're a little tricky
to
read.
Yeah, I know. I had to go to the back of them. It was tough last time.
I got the glasses on. I should wear the goggles, like the 1990s mid-goggles.
Yeah.
I remember from my Horace Grant or
Kurt
something
Rambis.
Like that. Kurt Rambis. 94 NBA tops here. You ready to go?
Let me focus. Yes, go ahead.
All right. First up is Rex Chapman. God, I used to love Rex in college. Rex could jump. Rex could play.
I remember multiple teams with him. I would say the Bullets, the Hornets, the Heat. So I'm going to go one of those probably.
Okay.
94, 95.
You're in the neighborhood, buddy. I'll tell you that much.
I'm going to hate myself if I get this. I'm going to go Hornets.
Bullets.
Ow! Damn it! All right.
He was drafted by the Hornets, and then he wound up going to the Bullets. And the Heat after that. I think you were right on
so
that.
So he
too.
Was All first right. with the Hornets?
He was definitely with the Hornets. Remember? Yeah, he was, okay. he was awesome. All right. This one's simple, but it's an all-star, and the card is absolutely dope. Gary Payton, the glove.
Yeah, Seattle Supersonics.
Got nothing but glove for you. Do your thing, boy.
He also went to Miami, right, later?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
right.
Lakers. He bounced around a little
Lakers,
bit.
That's right. Okay.
I did a couple shows with Gary back in the day in San Francisco. He's out of his mind. Gary, what a great dude. All right. Let me see if I could read this one. This one is, I'm going to have to go, that's weird. I don't even know if that's a name or a stat. Ah, I mean, come on, look at this. Oh, who mm. be beat Patrick Ewing in 94.
Yeah, I don't want to mention his name. Akeem Olajuwon. Yeah,
yeah,
the Rockets.
You got some sick cards here. Actually, you got some easy ones.
You could take those home to Colt. Give him a little history lesson.
Yeah, yeah. Hey. Oh, another one that's really, really good. How about a little C. Webb? Now, you got to be careful with the year.
Yeah, I'm going to go Warriors.
You're going to get right.
Okay.
You're going to be right. These cards are awesome. C. Webb is money. You got that one right. James Worthy. Big game, James.
This is a tricky one, too.
As they used to call him back in the day. Big game. Not because he was dropping 25 either.
James Worthy. Was he always a Laker? I'm just going to guess Lakers.
Lakers, yeah, you got it.
Was he always a Laker?
Now, I was trying to think of that's a great question. Did he bounce around? To I want to check that answer.
I feel like he went somewhere else afterward. But
he could have. New York guy. Jamal Mashburn. The Monster Mash.
The Mavs at that
point. The Mavericks.
That was still early on.
The Mavericks.
That wasn't his rookie year. He was a little bit before that.
He was definitely drafted by the Dallas Mavericks.
Right, but
he was. No, it was before this. It was before this. And... Jamal, because remember they had, Tony Braxton's name came up on the show?
Yes, yeah, Curtis Martin we were talking about.
Curtis Martin, but also, if I'm not mistaken, there was a little trio, Jamal Mashburn, Jason Kidd, and Jimmy Jackson.
I remember,
in Dallas when they were young teammates with the Mavericks. They were all either vying for her or one of them was with her.
I remember that trio.
Like that.
Never worked out. Each individual was pretty good there. By the way, Dove tells us Worthy was a career Laker. So
there
we
go. I remember this guy. I remember watching him in college. Don McLean. First round pick.
Clippers?
He played for them for a little bit. Bullets. At this point, he's with the Bullets.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, 6'10", white guy. Played at UCLA. Yep. Not bad. Not a bad pro at all, actually. How about, another local guy. How about Scotty Burrell, who was also a professional baseball player?
Yeah, married to Janae Coakley,
who
I work with at SNY. Yeah. Was he with the Bulls at that point? I remember him. Hornets, too.
94, 95 tops.
I'm going to go Hornets.
Got it.
Yes.
Nice job right there.
The instinct is like, I know he's with the Bulls. I know he's with the Bulls.
Nice.
But okay, yeah.
Good job. Those Hornets, those are young Hornets right there. Grandma was still lurking there before he hurt his back. All right. How about a little Todd Day action?
I think I remember him in college. I don't recall. Suns.
The Bucks, and I believe he was at Arkansas. Let me just double check his college. College was Arkansas, and he was with the Bucks, yeah. How about, let's go to this guy. Yeah, these cards are tricky. I'll get to that in a minute. Rodney Rogers, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, Denver Nuggets?
Good call. Didn't he die?
Pass away, I think he did.
He did. He was a lefty shooter, strong, Wake Forest.
Was he number 54? You see
Look
that
at you pulling up the numbers.
I remember.
Guy.
Yeah.
Give me another 54.
And Charles Smith.
There you go. All right. Now, okay, you ready? But it's hard to read. Jeez.
Yeah.
All right, Eric Murdoch.
I know the name.
Yeah, you do. Played in the Big East collegiately.
I should know this one. Shoot. I'm not going to get it. I'm in my mind is... Bullets?
Bucks. So you were thinking, I was just going to ask you, you're thinking East or West. All right. Last one, this guy was yoked. Even when he was like 40, he was absolutely jacked. Kevin Willis.
Yeah, I remember. Now, the trick with him is he played a lot of different spots.
He did, but you should get this.
You saying that's throwing me off a little bit. I'm down to two.
Mm-hmm.
Hawks, Heat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say the Hawks.
This looks like the the Hawks. I'm sorry.
Okay,
absolutely.
You scared me there.
No, my bad. Nice job,
Kevin Willis. Yeah, there's some fun names from the past.
A little bonus. Do you know where? I think I had this right. Do you know where Kevin Willis played collegiately?
No idea.
I believe it was Michigan State, if I'm not mistaken. These cards are really nice.
Yeah, don't take them home. I like doing the basketball.
I do too.
Some names from the past. I know it's a baseball card thing. We tried it with the football and didn't have any idea who the majority of the linemen were or whatever. But
oh my god,
there
he was, Michigan State. By the way, Kevin Willis.
There you go. Good call.